أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you know, the topic under discussion is the characteristics of Islamic theory of metaethics. In our previous session, I talked about some of the qualities of Islamic theory of metaethics. I talked, for example, about consistency, saying that Islam is very much emphatic and very much concerned about the observation of consistency. You can know it by referring to Islamic texts. Islam emphasizes on practice. If you do not practice, if you do not give importance to practical issues, you will be of no value from the viewpoint of Islam. Islam also emphasizes on truthfulness and honesty. This is also another indication that Islam is very much concerned about consistency. Islam is also concerned about justice. Islam tells you to observe justice. All these issues tell us that Islam respects consistency, and Islam tries to bring about harmony between your words and your actions. You cannot claim to be a true Muslim. You cannot claim that you are a true believer unless your words match your actions, unless your words are in harmony with your actions. Secondly, I said that Islam emphasizes on sincerity. Islam is very much concerned about sincerity. If you are not sincere, if you do not give respect to sincerity, you will not be valued from the viewpoint of Islam. Islam tells you time and again not to associate anyone with Allah. Worship Allah, respect Allah, obey His commandments, and do not associate anyone else with God. Of course, when you do anything for the sake of your parents, when you do something for the sake of society, when you do something for the sake of your culture, you are in one way or another respecting or associating someone else with God. In order to be a true monotheist, in order to be a true believer, you must worship God purely. You must not worship anyone else alongside or beside God. This is another point. Thirdly, I said Islam respects and Islam emphasizes on divine command theory, because there are many things in our day-to-day life which we do not understand through our intellect. No matter how much we try, we will not be able to understand certain things. For example, I give you the example of taking interest or usury. This is something that is forbidden by Islam. But human intellect does not see any harm in taking interest. It advises you to take interest in all bankings are based on this system. You cannot find any banking system in the world of unbelievers which are not based on usury or on interest. So interest is a popular thing, but Islam forbids taking interest. In Islam, advises you not to take interest and not to give interest. So this is something that cannot be understood through a human intellect. It is only religion that can give us advice in this connection. And there are all other examples also. You can talk about drinking, you can talk about gambling, you can talk about any other forbidden things. A normal human being, an ordinary person, cannot understand why such things are forbidden. But these things are forbidden, and if you believe in religion, you must refrain from approaching these things. So we respect divine common theory because there are things which we do not understand, and it is God who can tell us whether or not they are forbidden. I also pointed out that Islam emphasizes on moral intuitions also. On the one hand, Islam respects divine command theory. On the other hand, Islam respects moral intuitions because there are certain things which you understand through your intellect, and you, for the understanding of such things, you are not in need of any revelation. Whether or not there is a revelation, you understand that justice is good. Whether or not there is revelation, you understand that injustice is bad. So the goodness of justice and the badness of injustice is something which you understand through your intellect. And that is why Islam is of the view that there are moral intuitions. And these moral intuitions are very much important. And there are verses in the Holy Quran that point to this fact. For example, the verse that tells us, "Hal jaza'ul ihsani illa al-ihsan." The reward of a good deed, of a favor, is favor. If somebody do a favor to you, you must respond in the same way. You must do a favor to him. This is what everybody understands. And it is our intuition. We understand such things intrinsically. We understand these things without being taught or without being educated by any culture. So these are the items we understand. And I also pointed out that Islam gives importance to another item, that is rationality. Rationality is very much important from the viewpoint of Islam. If you give a look at Quranic verses, and if you give a look at Islamic traditions, you find out that how important rationality is. You cannot consider your life without rationality. You cannot detach your life from rationality. Your life has to be coupled with rationality. According to Quranic verses, the unbelievers think that we, the believers, are not rational people. They think we are very much irrational. They think we are foolish even. According to the unbelievers, the believers are foolish. But God says that as a matter of fact, it is the unbelievers who are foolish. The believers are wise. The believers are rational. It is the unbelievers who are foolish. And if you make a comparison between the believers and the unbelievers, God says that it is the unbelievers who are not rational. Look at these words. What does it tell us? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السُّفَهَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا When they are told to believe as everyone else has done, what do they say? They say, أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ Should we believe just as the foolish people or fools have done? In other words, should we follow? You see, from the viewpoint of the unbelievers, the believers are foolish. The believers are fool. And that's why they say that should we believe just as the fools have done so? What does God say? Allah innahum humu sufaha. In fact, it is the unbelievers who are fools. It is they who are fools. It is they who do not understand. It is they who suffer from ignorance. It is they who are devoid of rationality. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ This is something which they do not understand. They do not understand what they are suffering from. So there is always a dispute between the believers and the unbelievers. The believers say that the unbelievers are foolish, and the unbelievers say the believers are foolish. But God the Almighty says that it is the unbelievers who are foolish. And it is very much important. The judgment produced by God is very important in this connection. Again, you see, there are other verses that talk about such things. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي السَّفَاهَةِ A group of unbelievers or a leading group, the leaders of unbelievers from among his people. What of the view? And were saying, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي السَّفَاهَةٍ They were telling the Prophet that you are in foolishness. They were shamelessly talking to the Prophet and telling him that you are a foolish person, you are a fool. And you see that there is a dispute. But what is important is the judgment produced by God. From the viewpoint of God, from the perspective of God, it is the unbelievers who are foolish. And it is they who suffer from ignorance. So from these verses we can conclude that rationality is very much important. And irrationality is very bad. Foolishness being tantamount to irrationality has been rejected. When the unbelievers accuse the believers of irrational behaviors, God accuses them of such behaviors. So these are very much important verses. Again, if you refer to the Holy Quran, you will find dozens of verses that emphasize on rationality, that emphasize on intellection, that emphasize on understanding. So these verses, if taken into account, will tell us how much important rationality is. We cannot pass by rationality very easily, and we cannot ignore it. So the moral theory of Islam, the ethical theory of Islam, has to be rational. It cannot be irrational, and it cannot ignore the factor of rationality. It must always observe this principle. Tonight, I'm going to introduce some new items and some new qualities that are important from the viewpoint of Islamic morality. Another quality, you can say the sixth quality of Islamic moral thinking, is that Islamic moral thinking is impartial. It does not take side, or it cannot be biased, it cannot be prejudiced. Islamic morality is an impartial morality. In other words, Islam emphasizes on the observation of impartiality while passing a judgment or while making an evaluation. Your evaluation, your judgments, your decisions must be fair and must be impartial. How can we understand and how can we find out that Islamic morality is an impartial morality? In other words, how can we realize that Islam is concerned about impartiality? The same reasons we produce for observing consistency, the same reasons can be applied here. We must observe impartiality because of certain factors. Number one, we must observe impartiality because Islam emphasizes on practice. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ God says, by the time, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ All human beings are in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Except those who believe in God, who believe, and except those who do good deeds. You see that there is actually a link from the viewpoint of Islam between belief on the one hand and practice on the other. You cannot detach these two from each other. So from this we understand that whatever you say, you must practice. If you say, for example, justice is good, then you yourself must follow this rule. You must be just in your dealing with others, in your dealing with your family, in your dealing with your friends, in your dealing with your associates. If you are not just, and if you do not observe justice, you cannot advise others to follow justice. So anything which you prescribe for others must be prescribed also for you. You cannot exclude yourselves. You cannot say that you are an exceptional case. You are equal to others. You are like others. When you make a law, when you pass a law, this law must include everyone, and everyone must be equal before this law. And it is a sign of impartiality which we find in Islam. Islam emphasizes, as I mentioned before, on the harmony between words and practice. This principle is also very much important. There is a verse that says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O believers, why do you say what you do not practice? Say what you practice. Say what you practically accept. Do not say what you do not practice. Do not promulgate what you do not practically accept. Do not preach what you do not practically accept. So this also shows that Islam is very much concerned about impartiality. And impartiality can be achieved through observing these rules and these principles. Islam also emphasizes, as I mentioned before, on truthfulness. وَالصَّادِقُونَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَزِيمًا. The truthful man and the truthful woman, God has prepared for them, or God has promised for them, great reward, أَجْرًا عَزِيمًا, and forgiveness, مَغْفِرَة. Forgiveness and great reward will be given to those who are truthful, whether men or women, whether male or female. So being a truthful person, you can observe impartiality. A truthful person cannot be a biased person. A truthful person cannot be a prejudiced person. So this is also important. Islam also emphasizes on the observation of justice. This is also very much important. There is a verse that tells us, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ. The hostility of a group must not cause you to deviate from the true path of justice. If a group is hostile to you, if they hate you, if they are bad towards you, it must not cause you to be unjust. Be always just, even while dealing with your enemies. Be fair, even while dealing with your foes, with those whom you do not like, with those whom you do not favor. So this also tells you to be impartial. So there are certain principles in Islam. And if you study these principles, if you give importance to these principles, they tell you that you must be impartial. You cannot be partial and at the same time respect these principles. Another quality of Islamic meta-ethics is that of moderation. Islam is very concerned about moderation. Islam tells you to be moderate in your life. If you go to extremities, if you go to extremes, you cannot be a good Muslim. You will be a good Muslim when you are a moderate person, when you do not go to extremes. Nowadays we have problems with extremisms. The extremists have created problems not only for themselves, but for the whole world. But this is not what Islam says. Islam is a religion of moderation. Islamic ethics is marked. You cannot be a good Muslim. You cannot set an example for others without being a moderate person. Be moderate. How can we understand that moderation is good? There are traditions, prophetic traditions, and holy traditions that tell us hints and that give us hints which can help us understand this quality. According to Islamic documents, man is created of two elements, emotion and reason. Man is actually the mixture of emotion and reason. Emotion and reason are mixed up with each other, and the result has become a human being. This is, whereas animals are created of emotion alone, and angels are created of intellect alone. According to Islamic texts, angels are created from the intellect, and therefore they obey God, and they cannot disobey God. They are always following the commandments of God. They never obey their Lord. But as far as the animals are concerned, if you look at the animal kingdom, you find out that that animals are created and are made up of emotions or passions. It is the element of passion from which animals have been created. And therefore, animals are after satisfying their emotions. They are after satisfying their lust. They are always concerned about their lust and about their emotions. But as far as human beings are concerned, human beings are a mixture or a combination of intellect on the one hand and passion on the other. In these two elements are mixed up, and as a result, human beings have been created. So what is the ideal position for a human being? The ideal position for a human being, according to this tradition, is that you are in between animal and angels. You should lie in between these two beings, in between these two creatures. This is the position which you must take. If you deny your passions and capitalize always on your intellect, then again, you have not taken your creation into account. And if you capitalize too much on passion and ignore your intellect, again, you will not be a human being. You will be an animal. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامُ بَلْ هُمْ أَزَلُ. They will be lower than the animals, worse than the animals. So the best position for a human being is to be in between animals and angels. How can you be in between these two creatures? If you give importance to your passion, and if you at the same time give importance to your intellect, and if you cherish both these items, you will be able then to be a good human being, to be a model human being, to be a perfect human being. And therefore, Islamic texts advise us and tell us to take into account all these two factors. Islam tells us, keep your intellect into account. Listen to the voices of your intellect. Listen to the advices of your intellect. Islam at the same time tells, don't ignore your emotions. Don't ignore your passions. Give time to your passions. When Islam tells you to marry in one way or the other, it tells you that don't ignore your passion. Islam tells you be generous. Islam does not like you to be stingy, and Islam does not like you to be extravagant in your spendings. Islam likes you or wants you to be generous and to be a person of moderate behavior. Inshallah, in our next session, I will further talk about this quality of Islamic ethics And I will also introduce some more qualities, inshallah. Thank you very much.